your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need you to come.
And welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. Thank you so much for joining us today on the program. On this show, we like to have a moment of spiritual encouragement, we call it. It's sort of like today is your spiritual cup of coffee. On this program, we like to talk about the intersection of faith, faith in your work life, faith in your family life, faith in your comings and your goings. We like to talk about how faith plays a part in all of that. And on the show, we interview guests who will share their testimonies, and they'll talk a little bit about their faith journey. And again, it's the purpose of the show is to provide you some encouragement if you're already a believer, and maybe challenge you a little bit if you're still checking out faith. Wanted to let you know that we do have a website. It's mark5ministries.com. We have all of our podcasts loaded on that website, so make sure you check that out. And we'd like to share a little bit of God's Word at this point in the program. And so I am going to go to the book of Colossians. This is a very short one, but I wanted to just, this is something that's been on my heart this week, if I can find it. Bear with me. Here we go. Colossians chapter 4, and it's verse 2. It goes like this: devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. You know, I've been spending a lot of time in the book of Colossians, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more in the program. But I wanted to thank you for joining us today. We are praying for some special people right now who are in the hospital battling cancer. And so our prayers are with them for a divine, miraculous recovery for them. So we want to let you know that we also will take your prayer requests. So let us know if we can pray for you. And again, this is Everyday Faith Radio. Jeff Gaffney, your host. We'll be right back in just a moment with today's guest. Please stay with us.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. The 6th annual Tomtoberfest will be all day September 22nd and 23rd at Emancipation Park in downtown Seville. Tomtoberfest is part of the TomTom Festival, featuring music, food, and drink. Details at tomtomfest.com. The Women's Club of Greene County will be selling tickets to the charity fundraiser Fall Into Fashion, a fashion show to benefit the Women's Club of Greene County Scholarship Fund. Tickets are just $10 and will be sold on September 22nd and 23rd at the Rutgersville Walmart. The second annual Barbecue on the Bend competition will be on September 23rd at the Reeling and Rafting Campground next to the Scottsville Public Boat Landing. Gates open at 11 a.m. Tickets are $12 at the gate. Proceeds benefit the James River Boys and Girls Club. If your charity or nonprofit has an event, email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@sevillestations.com. For more events, visit our website, wchv.com.
And then you're out of desperation, though you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and back with us for round two on this program is Tag Tuck. And Tag, I want to get to the point so that our listeners know that you are planting a church in Charlottesville. I want to get to that point, but for those that didn't hear you on the program a month or so ago, maybe you could give us just the short version of how you came to faith and kind of head towards coming to faith and becoming a pastor and dovetailing into planting a church.
Wow. Sure. Just the Cliff Notes version of that was growing up in a church, hearing churchy words, but my faith not becoming my own until high school, when I had a friend who the way he talked about being a Christian and the way I talked about being a Christian, we used the same words, but our lives looked very different. Mm. And he was a challenge to me and a good friend, began to live into my faith, realized in a new way that I'm a sinner in need of a savior. that Christ is that Savior. Went to college at Indiana University. Went to college, did a master's degree at the University of Nebraska, Lincoln. I'm a saxophonist by trade. And then joined the United States Air Force to play saxophone in the service of my country, which was a great time. That was when I was married, got married in Lincoln, Nebraska. My wife and I went and were stationed at Langley Air Force Base in Hampton, Virginia, a beautiful part of the state of Virginia. Lived there for 5 years, had two wonderful children, and then the Air Force saw fit to take us to Germany. At Ramstein Air Force Base. And it was while we were there that we had this unspoken agreement between the two of us, my wife and I, that we were always just going to be really involved lay people in the church. You know, I would teach some Sunday school here and there. We were a part of an American church plant in Germany. It was a great time. It was a hard time doing that overseas. And one day my wife and I were in the kitchen in our home in Germany. And we knew our enlistment was coming to a close. We were pretty sure that we were going to get out of the Air Force. I was thinking about going back to school to do a terminal degree in saxophone, but we hadn't decided on that yet. And my wife said, "Well, what would you do if money and time and all of that were no object? What would you do?"
The question from the wife.
Oh my goodness!
The penetrating question from the wife.
I can still see our kitchen. I can close my eyes and be standing in that.
Give me
kitchen.
That question again.
She says, "What would you do if money and time were no object? What would you do?" And I said, "I would be a pastor." It was as if I saw the words coming out of my mouth, headed across the kitchen from my mouth toward her ears, and my arms weren't long enough to reach out and catch them before they actually landed. But they did land. And she was like, "Wow, that's surprising. That's amazing." We had made these plans about going back to the United States, and I thought, we made these plans, and I thought, well, now that we've made these plans, we should pray and God will rubber stamp them. And that's not really how that works. Mm-hmm. You make plans, you should pray before, during, and after planning and allow the Lord to change them. Because my plan was to go back and, do more music, play more saxophone, maybe teach saxophone. His plan for us was to end up in St. Louis at Covenant Theological Seminary. And then to bring us here to Charlottesville, where for the last 5 years I've been the assistant pastor at Grace Community Church, 4 miles north of the airport. Wow. And now to get to the point where the Lord has called us to plant a church on the east side of town in Pantops.
Tell us how that is going and tell us why Pantops and quote unquote, why another church and what's going on here?
Sure. I think the easiest way to get into that is let me just give you three numbers. Just grab these three numbers. 120, 300, and 36,000. 120, 300, and 36,000. There are about 120 churches in Albemarle County. Last time I got online and was looking around and checked. 120 churches. If those 120 churches in Albemarle County all received 300 converts tomorrow, not the 12,000 evangelicals in Albemarle County trading seats. Mm-hmm. We all know that happens, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about 300 converts in those. If every one of those churches received 300 converts tomorrow, now most of their buildings wouldn't hold 300 converts tomorrow, right. Without adding a second or a third service. But if that happened in Albemarle County, according to the 2010 census, there would still be 36,000 people in Albemarle County who have no religious affiliation.
Wow.
Right? So there's plenty of room in our county, and that's not even to take into account Green, Orange, Nelson. There's plenty of room in our county to reach the lost with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's why I really appreciate this podcast, is that, like you said, you're here to encourage the believer and to challenge the skeptic. And that's what we want to do in church planning, is to, I call it evangelize the believer and disciple the skeptic.
Excellent. Well, when do we hope to see, and what's the name of the new church? Can you give us those details? When do we have a kickoff yet?
Sure. Looking in the first quarter of 2018 to launch, we're just at the point now where we've got, you know, really church planning is really simple in some ways. You really only need three things. You need a financial foundation, you need believers on mission, and you need to be walking with people who are skeptical about Christianity. And you do those things until you can't not launch worship. So we've just gotten through the phase of sort of the first round of raising finances. We're still in need of more. But we've come to the point where we can start gathering believers on mission. Just a handful. If you're at a church that that the Lord has called you to and you're there, stay there. But if someone listening to this program is interested in going on mission, specifically in Pantops, you know, and your pastor knows about it and would love to be in contact with you about the possibility of doing that. But then we're really looking, if you're listening to this and you're skeptical, you've walked away either from the church. I mean, a lot of skeptics who have walked away from the church have walked away with good reason. They've been hurt by the church, or they've been hurt in the name of Jesus. A lot of people I've met have an I hate God story. I love to sit down and hear those stories because I think it's important for us in the church to listen, to listen without suspicion, and then to invite people. A lot of times I've found that, that people in that haven't, they've met somebody else's Jesus. They haven't met the Jesus that is revealed in the pages of Scripture. So anyway, we're calling our church Word and Table. Presbyterian Church in America. I've been called by the church, the churches, the Presbyterian churches in our region to plant this church on the east side of town in Pantops, which is just a booming part of town. A lot of housing going up there. We've got the, you know, the second Chick-fil-A, the second Chipotle, the second hospital, you know, the big State Farm campus over there. So a lot of things are burgeoning over on that end of town. And so our idea is to go over there and, put some more churches, put another house of worship over there.
This is Everyday Faith Radio. Jeff Gaffney, your host, and our guest today is Tag Tuck, who is just he's just planting a new church in the Pantops area called Word and Table. So, Tag, before we take a break, just in a moment, does it seem like, or maybe I'm more aware of it, but does it seem like the young people today are, you might tell me I'm completely wrong, but my perception is that the young people are starting to run away from the church today, that they're growing up and they become young adults and they say, I'm not going to mom and dad's church anymore. I have too much baggage, or I've got, or whatever the case may be. Is that just my perception? Is it my own issue?
That's a great question. I think there are plenty of statistics that bear out in the evangelical church today. There are a lot of young people that have been leaving the church. I'd be hesitant to talk about it you know, I'm not an expert in this. You might look at more statistics by a guy like George Barna or something like that. But I think it happens. I think it's there. You know, but you see this reaction in different things. If you're going, if you grew up in a very traditional pews, coats and ties kind of church, when I was a kid, that's the kind of church that I grew up in. And it seemed like as I was a teenager, young adult, people were running off to churches that were happening in movie theaters and had Hawaiian shirt Sundays. And some of that was just a cultural reaction more than a spiritual reaction. And then I, you know, when I went to seminary, I met people who had grown up in Hawaiian shirt Sunday jeans in movie theaters kind of churches. And now they were coming back looking for a more ancient faith, as some people had said. So I've seen a resurgence of the liturgical movement in some churches. So I think you get a, broad cross-section of that.
Yeah, and it's interesting. It may just be that when you get at that stage in life, the young adult who no longer is with mom and dad on the weekends, that they all of a sudden maybe they say, well, I don't have to go to church with mom and dad, and so I can make my own decisions. But just like we have had so many on this show, we see eventually something happens, or God pokes them or touches them, or they go away and then they come back. And my experience, particularly on this show of interviewing those folks, they come back with an incredible hunger. And so maybe that was what we needed to talk about, is that those that have stepped away from church and have a little bit of a faith background, maybe that's part of the group that we need to get to Word and Table.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Would love to talk about that, because most of the time, folks will grow up in a church and they feel like they feel like they're rejecting God, but maybe what they were rejecting was mom and dad. And I say that very carefully.
Yeah, right. No, I get it.
Yeah. But a little bit of that.
Their association is for whatever reason, it's a painful one.
Yeah. Or sometimes, someone will grow up in an environment that feels very legalistic,
mm-hmm.
And they'll feel like they're rejecting God, but maybe they were rejecting legalism, mm-hmm. and they end up living kind of like what we might call the party lifestyle or something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. Or maybe someone, you can do that the other way too. Maybe you grew up in something that was the party lifestyle, and you feel like you're rejecting that, and you think you found God, but sometimes what you found is legalism. I always talk about that in terms of, I think in Alcoholics Anonymous, they talk about a dry drunk, that concept of someone who was living a life of drunkenness, and they got sober, but then people will say to them, man, I liked you better when you were drunk. Mm. And people will do it both ways, right? Mm. So people will reject legalism, but they'll also reject licentiousness, but they'll kind of cross in between and go from one to the other. Mm. They'll leave licentiousness and go to legalism, or they'll leave legalism and go to licentiousness. In both ways, the person who thinks they found God in legalism hasn't, and the person who thought they rejected God by rejecting legalism necessarily hasn't. But it's only when we find Jesus as he's revealed in Scripture, the one who is both the lawgiver and judge, and the one who is merciful and dispenses grace, grace great enough to cover all our sins.
Mm-hmm.
When we encounter that Jesus, the Jesus who, the Jesus who made the blind see, the Jesus who made the lame walk, the Jesus who encountered tax collectors and prostitutes and those people who were on the margins, and said to the Pharisees, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are getting into the kingdom ahead of you. Wake up, fellas.
Mm.
That's a man. Yes. I have to, I start talking about that. And I'm looking in the mirror going, whoa,
yes.
Jesus, don't pass me by.
The radical encounter with Jesus is the answer. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with Tag Tuck. Please stay with us. I have a lot more questions to ask you. Don't you go anywhere.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. The Women's Committee of the Junior League presents the 24th annual Martha's Market, September 29th through October 1st at John Paul Jones Arena. Admission is $10 for the entire weekend. Info at mjh.org. The Junior League of Charlottesville is now accepting applications for the Fall 2017 Community Grants Program through September 22nd. JLC's Community Grants Program award two $4,000 grants to local projects. Info, go to jlcville.org. The Charlottesville Mural Project is seeking submissions from muralists in the area to help create a mural in Albemarle County. The mural will be painted along Barracks Road. If you'd like to enter a submission, go to thebridgepai.org. If your charity or nonprofit has an event, email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@sevillestations.com. For more events, visit our website, wchv.com.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. With us on the program, back for round two, Tag Tuck. He is the pastor of a church that is just starting up in the Pantops area called Word and Table. Tag, I have you on the show, and so now I get to hit you with, I don't know if this is a question or a thought, but let me just dump a little something here for you. It's really kind of been an interesting Bible reading time for me right now. I have this Bible reading plan that I stick to. I love it. I wake up every morning. I wonder where Jesus is going to take me in his word. But right now I'm in a little bit of a frustrating place I have. I'm reading the book of Revelation at the same time with Ezekiel. And so I'm reading those two. And, you know, it's confession time is, you know, gosh, it's kind of dry. There's a lot of I don't understand. I don't know what's going on over here. And so my eyes are on the page. I'm trying to say, you know, Jesus, reveal yourself to me. But there have been some days here where, you know, I come up and, I didn't really get anything out of that. And so
that's rough. But you're doing the right thing, putting Ezekiel and Revelation together. There's a lot of, wow. You know, John's borrowing a lot of imagery out of Ezekiel,
yes.
And they fit together. But yeah, it can, you know, I often talk about when I tell people about the four different gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I say, you know, think about those four guys like at a party, and John would be the guy, and, you know, John writing the gospel of John and the writer of Revelation as well. Think of John standing in the corner, being that guy at the party who's like wearing a tie-dye shirt with a headband on. He's like, man, this is so deep. He's kind of like the deep cosmic guy at the party. And Revelation is like that. And in the Old Testament, I think Ezekiel's that same guy. Mm. Out of kind of like the four major prophets in the OT, you know, you've got Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Ezekiel is right in line. He's the hippie guy in the corner talking to you. And he's not sparing any words. It's one of the longest books in the Bible.
Oh, let me just read this verse to you, and then I'll come back. So today was Revelation chapter 12. And at the end of chapter 12, this sort of blew my mind. It was, there's this imagery of a dragon that gets expelled from heaven, and the dragon is identified as Satan. And at the very end, I'm reading this from the New Living Translation. Down in the middle of verse 17, it says, "And the dragon was angry at the woman and declared war against the rest of her children, all who keep God's commandments and maintain their testimony for Jesus." What jumped off the page at me was how long I've lived my life not understanding that the enemy has declared war against us.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And so I went through a long period of my life not even really believing that there was a devil or Satan, or in this terminology, the dragon. I went through a long period of not really, you know, maybe that was something you saw on Halloween, or, you know, maybe that was just a old myth. But then you read God's word and it comes at you again and again and again. But let me just take you to the earlier part of Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, which I need to give credit to this for my old friend, Richie McKay, who used to be the assistant basketball, his assistant head coach for UVA, is now the head coach down at Liberty University. And I had never been to Revelation chapter 12, verse 11. That's your homework for any of our listeners to go look that up and read that. But I'm going to read it to you right now. It says, "And they have defeated him," meaning the enemy, "and they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony, and they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die." And so, although,
absolutely.
here's where I'm trying, coach me now, Tag Talk.
Keep going, come on.
Although the enemy has declared war on us, we've already won.
Absolutely.
Because of the finished work of Jesus, which in this case is the blood of the Lamb.
Couldn't have said it better myself. That's right.
So, I went into this chapter, though, so kind of frustrated and thinking, man, I'm not really feeding on the word. And then I come out and I'm so pumped.
Right.
To find
that's
that.
That's the thing that gets you up in the morning is to know that the battle is already won.
Yeah.
The battle is already won. And I think that's an important thing to keep in mind.
Yeah.
We're in the midst of difficult times and difficult situations, even in our town. The number one thing that I think that we can take away in terms of encouragement is that in Christ, yes, because of his blood shed for us, the work is done. Right. Mm. So there's in everything, whenever you're taking the book of Revelation, you grab onto this thing. A friend of mine likes to say, I live in a house. at the corner of already and not yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the truth, mm-hmm. right? In Christ, his work is done. It was completed 2,000 years ago on the cross. And when Jesus rose from the dead and sat down at the right hand of the Father, he sat down because his work was finished.
Mm.
And yet we know that there is a day, there is a final day, day of the Lord. And you encounter that in those prophets, you encounter it in Ezekiel, and even the minor prophets too, there, where they talk about the day of the Lord. And there are all little day of the Lord days that happen, where there are judgments that happened, that happened already thousands of years ago, but there is an ultimate final one day mm-hmm. of the Lord where Christ returns
mm-hmm.
in all his power and glory, where heaven and earth are joined together, where the kingdom comes and all of the government will be upon his shoulders,
mm-hmm.
And he knows his children. Right, the woman in Revelation 12, as best we can tell in reading that, he's talking, John's talking about the church mm. and all her children, right? All of the church throughout time, throughout the world, the capital C church mm. belong to that. And you're right, the enemy has declared war on the capital C church and has been waging that war
wow.
in different places mm. throughout time.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're engaged in that war, in that spiritual battle today, mm. you take heart. Take heart, who's listening to this, because you are engaging in a war that's been going on before you got up this morning and started walking on this earth, before you were born. But a day that has a finality, there's a final day, and Jesus wins. So the best encouragement that we can give to anyone who's listening to this today is to unite yourself to Christ by faith, believing that the work that he's accomplished on your behalf is for you. And when you receive that gift, then you too have eternal life, and you join this war with the team that must win.
Well, now we only have a couple minutes left, Tag Tuck, and thank you so much for joining us on the program. But now I'm going to finish with Colossians 3. I started with Colossians. I just love that book.
Yes.
Colossians 3, verse 7, to encourage somebody listening to this show today. Colossians 3 verse 7 says, "Let your roots grow down into him," meaning Jesus, "and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness." The check on that verse for me, Tag, is the overflowing with thankfulness. That's the byproduct of this faith in Jesus. Tag, we could go a long time here, but we're out of time.
Yes.
But whenever I find myself kind of in a cranky way, I come back to this Colossians verse.
Absolutely.
And I'm trying to encourage myself that the life that has its roots growing down into Jesus, you will overflow with thankfulness.
Mm, when you're rooted in Christ, the fruit will come out of thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for joining us on the program, Tag Tuck. I'm getting you back in here for round three because I have lots more questions. You're like the A-team of pastors, and we've had a lot of really good pastors on this program. So I wish you and your family just terrific Godspeed with growing your church. To you, your family, all of our listeners, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace. This is Everyday Faith Radio. See you all next week. Tag, thanks for joining us.
Let your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need